Oh man, what powerful truths those are that we just sang. What powerful promise that is, and reality that is that it is well with our souls in the Lord Jesus. That no matter what we may face, it is well. He loves us that much. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalm 139 this morning. As you turn there, just think about this with me. What is it like to be known? This can mean a number of things, right? In many ways, in our culture, there's this pursuit of being known, like being well-known and being famous and becoming YouTube famous or an influencer or a celebrity in whatever right. But is that really to be known? How many people really know you? Does anyone really know you? This morning, the reality and the truth of the Bible that we're going to see is that God knows us, each and every single one of us. And He doesn't know a part of us, but He knows everything there is to know about us to an astronomically greater degree than we can ever even know of ourselves. Let's read together today in Psalm 139. David is writing this psalm and he says, "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill the wicked, you bloodthirsty men stay away from me, who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. This psalm here begins and ends with words about God searching and knowing us. It is both a request and an acknowledgement. The final request is, search me and know my heart. Reveal offensive way in me. The opening acknowledgement is that, Lord, you have searched me. You do know me. As we look at this psalm today, I want to acknowledge first that there's a couple ways that most often, if we hear verses from this psalm, we hear it in a couple of different ways, predominantly and almost exclusively. And that doesn't mean these things are wrong interpretations or wrong applications of this psalm, but I do want us to understand that there is so much more to the depth of this psalm for us. But these ways that we often hear these verses of this chapter, we often hear it in relation to abortion. We often hear verses 13 through 16 and the reality of God's forming us from conception in the mother's womb. And I don't want to you to misunderstand me here. That is very much the reality of all of the Bible, of speaking to our lives being formed in that way. But there's a lot more here. And we'll see that part, but there's so much more to this psalm. A second way that we often see this and hear the verses of this psalm used, especially once again in verses 13 through 16, is it's used as a way to say that this self-identity that I have taken on is good because it's who God's created me as. And however I identify, God supports that, and that's what God has put in me, because it says he's the one who formed me. He's the one who made me this way. But the problem is that there's a dangerous emphasis there that this so-called identity, even if it contradicts the teachings of the Bible, can be embraced. And today, as we see the entirety of this, we'll see a caution against that. We'll see the first part lifted up. But in all of that, we will see how this psalm teaches us about a God who knows us, a God who hears us, a God who is there for us and cares deeply. The first thing we'll see today is that God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows. That's a big statement, right? God knows. And in fact, we don't even have to put other words before the period, right? We can just stop right there. God knows. And anything we can put after that, the statement remains true. God knows all. And the question that I asked you is, when I first got up here, about how many people know you, or how are you known by others? There's a lot to that question, right? Because there's some people that we know in passing. There's some people that we are friendly with, but we can think about areas of their life that we don't really know anything about. Areas of our life that they don't really know anything about. We can think about people that we know really, really well. Maybe a really, really very close friend or a family member. And we can think, this person knows me better than any other human knows me. But yet we can still think about parts of ourselves that person doesn't know or doesn't totally understand. We can think about parts that we're reluctant for others to know. We can think about the thoughts of our heart, where so often the sins brew that no one knows of. It's vulnerable to be known. But in recognizing and seeing here in these opening verses of how God knows us, what we find is a tremendous source of hope and grace and life. Look at the ways here, as David writes, that he says that God knows us. In verse 2, it says that he knows when I sit down and when I stand up. Also in verse 2, he says he knows my thoughts from far away. So he knows my actions, my movements, and also my thoughts. He knows my travels and my rest. He knows all my ways. It says in verse 4 that before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. He knows all there is to know. He knows the thoughts. He knows the words we're going to speak. He knows the actions we are going to do. He knows. And as I said a moment ago, while that can be vulnerable, it is also when we realize the beauty of that. And as we'll talk in a minute of God's purpose that he has created us for, that this is a tremendous blessing. That we are known by the creator of the universe. By the God who has created anything, anyone that has ever existed is created by his hand. And he knows you. He knows you. We can often feel misunderstood, but God knows us. He knows all, while when we do not. Verse 6, it says, this wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. We can't attain this knowledge. We can't know all. We can't even know all there is to know about ourselves, but God does. Now, on that note, the way that we learn more of who we are, and as we talked a minute ago about this, how our self-identity is not always perfect, right? Our perception of ourselves can be greatly flawed. Let's remember, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, but let's remember the way that we know more of ourselves is to know more of God. When we open the Bible and learn of the character of God, we learn of who God is, and we read things like understanding that God created us in his image to live in relationship with him, we learn more of who we are to be, who we are created to be, of our purpose here on earth, by learning more and more of God. A second part of this we see today is that God is present even when you try to hide. In verses 7 through 12, we see it's talking in verse 7, it says, where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And he kind of gives some opposites here, right? He talks about go up to heaven or making the bed in Sheol, which is the darkness and hell. And there's polar opposites. He says, no, you are there. Or he talks about the on the wings of the dawn and going to the western horizon. So dawn in the east, and if you could fly to the furthest reaches of the west, and these great opposites, he says, but you are there. And then he even says, even in the dark, you make it light. In the last week, I've seen these pictures going all around on the internet from this new Webb telescope that we're getting these first images back from, right? And in these images, we're seeing things that if we step outside tonight, even if we go like way out in the West Desert where there's no light, and if there was no moon or anything, and we can see a whole lot more in the sky because it's total darkness, we still can't even catch a glimpse of what some of these images we're receiving this week, right? Of the depths and of all these like galaxies that are but little dots, even to this telescope, and but to our eyes would just be black in the sky. And that God created each and every part of that, and that we're still only grasping a little bit of his creation. That's the God who created you. That's the God who knows you. We can't hide anything from God. He created everything that has ever existed. And here's the sweet part of that. Not only is God always present, but he's also good. His words are written by David as a great encouragement to the believer. As he's saying, God who loves us is always present. To be known by God, to know that God is always present, and to see from the entirety of the Bible that God loves us. That even since we're created in his image, but Genesis chapter 3, shortly after creation, humans fell into sin. And then God begins, and right from that moment is revealing his redemptive plan that culminates in Christ coming to earth to live without sin so that he could die a criminal's death on a cross as a redemption for our sins. God loves us. It's the very character of who God is. And he is present. We cannot escape him. And he knows us. And when you have a loving God, these are very good characteristics. Because this is a God who understands everything about us. This is a God who is literally always present in the life of a believer. Who has given us his Holy Spirit that is God with us. He's always there. His love cannot be escaped. He knows the trials, the hardships that you're facing. He's there. He's present. What a beautiful reality that is. That we can turn to him. That you can cry out to God. I love the Psalms. In the Psalms, you've heard me say this before, and I don't know who said it originally. It's not me. I stole it. But they said that in the Psalms, the Psalms speak for us. They're our voice as we approach God, as we come before him, and we have a voice. We don't always have the words to say, but they give us words. They show us how to come before God in lament. When we are grieved and broken and don't know what to say, that we can come before God and be vulnerable and cry out to him, and that he's present and he knows us and he is good. Another thing we see here is that God is the source of our identity. We see this verses 13 through 18. That God created each of us with a specific plan and purpose according to his divine will. I think one of the greatest troubles that we face in our society is how we view self-identity, right? We'll hear the phrase, like, phrases, some sort of the phrase, right? Just be you, or just do you, and those types of things. And the problem that we have right there, especially for those of us who seek to follow Christ, is that our identity does not come from ourselves, it comes from God. Our identity is shaped by the Word of God and by His truths. And so your perception of your self-identity is not infallible, it's not perfect. As you can think about in your life, there are many times that we can look back on, and the older, every year that passes, we can look back on a year before, or 10 years before, or decades before, and see more and more ways that our perceptions in the moment were not completely accurate, right? Our perceptions of ourself and of our identity are often flawed. As we said a moment ago, the only way to truly know who you are is to know God. God knows all there is to know about you, and you don't. He can know everything about you because he created you. In these verses, starting in verse 13, we see these facts. Is that God created your inward parts? Is that he knit you together in your mother's womb? That he has remarkably and wondrously made you? That your bones were not hidden from him? He made you in secret? That he formed you in the depths of the earth? That he saw you when you were formless? And that all your days were written in his book and planned before they even began. He knows you. He created you. He designed you according to his will, according to his purposes. He is sovereign over his creation. And even as an unborn babe, his hand was on you. Earlier, we mentioned that this psalm is most often used to talk about the value of the unborn life, and we see that so clearly right here. That God makes it abundantly clear that he was forming us and his hand was on us, and that we should protect life in that form, especially as we are most vulnerable. He created us, though, with a purpose. And he will fulfill it. And understand this clearly, we exist for the purpose of bringing glory to God Almighty. That is the purpose he has brought us to this earth for. And in his righteous purposes, we have the gospel. We have the ability to find forgiveness of our sins in Christ alone. By the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, to take on the penalty that we may have new life. We're made new according to God's divine plans. That God knows us and he wants to carry out his holy plans in us and through us. Think about this with me. Maybe you've, at some point in your life, you've probably been in a museum and been able to sit and look at a piece of art, right? Maybe it's a painting or some other form of art. But if you're at a museum and you're admiring this beautiful painting, who would be the best person to enjoy this painting with? The artist, right? If you could think of anyone else you want to enjoy and appreciate this piece of art with, it would be the person who created it. Because they know the intricacies. They know the meaning and the depth behind all of this. And if you take it in with them, you're understanding about the design of this art. And you're understanding about the hand that created it and the mind that put vision into it. Understand this, the reaction we have to God's all-encompassing knowledge of each created individual is worship. Worship is our reaction to who God is, to his knowledge of us, to his presence with us, to his gospel, to his love for us. We react in worship. The words here leave us with a sense of awe. That we are in awe that the God who created the universe loves us and knows us not as a collective human race, but knows us as individuals, knows us intimately. And as we're talking, as we go back to the museum illustration there, if we're at that museum, we're not going to sit and look at this beautiful piece of art and sit and give and start praising the piece of canvas for how beautifully it holds the paints. No, we're going to give praise to the artist. And when we hear the extent to which God has formed us, the result is not to praise ourselves, but to praise God, the Creator. The value of an object is often directly connected to who made the object, right? You can think with me about things like a name brand or a brand of clothing or a designer brand and how because that company or that person designed and put their imprint on this, it conveys value to that object. A painting by Van Gogh or Da Vinci will have an astronomically higher value than a painting by me, all right? Now, maybe when I'm dead, my artwork will raise in value. I don't know. But the Creator gives the value. The value of our life is from God. God receives the praise. And likewise, your value comes from the one who created you. We see this in verse 14. It says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. Your identity is God's handiwork. The fact that you exist is the very result of the work of God's hand and nothing else. What an amazing truth that is. We exist because God brought us into existence. And God did not create us and abandon us, but He knows us and He cares, He loves us, and He is present with us. We see one more thing happening here in this psalm, is that David addresses the evil that is around him. He addresses his desire for all to come to worship God, and for those who oppose God, for those who shed blood, to be defeated. We see this in verses 19 through 22 and 24 as well, really. He says it's this call to despise and reject evil as God does. One of the greatest struggles in the life of the believer is trying to follow Jesus in the midst of evil, in the midst of people doing evil and living with total disregard for the ways of God. David here is expressing this to God. He's calling on God, who is the righteous judge, to destroy evil. He's recognizing that God's plans are holy and that they are good. And he is acknowledging that he is loyal to the way of God, to God's plans. And he wants to see those furthered and fulfilled. He doesn't want to be associated with those who oppose God. These are men, they shed blood and they speak against God. And so here we see this call to a loyalty to God, to his teachings that we have in the Bible. And we also understand this as we take these last two verses and connect it there. We see, like, from verse 24 where it says, see if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. He said, search me, reveal these things. His understanding, as David right here calls out, speaks against evil, and pledges his loyalty to the truth and the way of God. There's also this reality, as we know more of God and as we learn more of ourselves, we are more and more aware that there is so often daily this need to have God search us and show us any ways within us that are sinful, that are against the ways of God. That's what David's finishing with here. As he began, he says, you have searched me and you know me. Here he says, search me and know my heart. Test me, know my concerns. Reveal any way in me that is offensive to you. What a beautiful, beautiful truth we have here. What a beautiful guide we have as we come before God, and we can come before him and worship and praise him for the way that he knows us, the way that he cares for us, and that we can ask him to search us, to reveal any ways in us that are not shaped and conformed to his ways, and to know us deeper and deeper. This morning, as we consider how do we respond to His Word, we'll have a final time of worship, and in this time we'll sing another song. We'll have a time to observe the Lord's Supper. We'll have a time of prayer. And as we do all of that, I want you to consider that as an opportunity for you to respond to God's Word today. Respond with the realization that God knows you. And I do want to offer this question for us, for anyone who's in the room with us or listening to this online or at a later time. And the question is, have you come to a place in your life of recognizing that God is the only one worthy of your praise? Of recognizing that your identity, the reality of your life, is that you have sinned and that your sin has separated you from a relationship with God. And acknowledging the truth of the Scriptures that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to earth to live without sin, to take on the penalty for your sins on the cross, and He rose again. And that by faith in the work of Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. If you've never received this incredible gift, then know that today the way that you can respond is by calling on Jesus for your salvation. It says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today is the day for that. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and you've received His salvation by faith, then the question I have for you today is, have you allowed your identity to become something of your own creation that isn't in line with the teachings of the Bible? Have you allowed elements outside of Scripture to inform your view of yourself? Or maybe you, in your obstacles you face in life, in the hardships of life, maybe you've neglected to come before God who knows you and cry out to Him and to worship Him even in the midst of those things. Maybe in your life, there's just a need for more time spent dwelling in the presence of God, in prayer, in the Bible, in corporate worship, in time with other believers talking about the things of God. As we remember, it's through knowing more of God that we know more of ourselves and who we are created to be and who we are in Christ. And all of these things, if as we think about that final verse where it says, "See if there is any offensive way in me, lead me in the everlasting way." If God reveals an offensive way in you, the biblical response is to pray and come before God and repent, to confess that sin to God and turn from it and receive His forgiveness that was secured for you, that was secured on the cross. And in the life of the believer, that forgiveness is solid and is secured and cannot be removed. But we constantly come before Him and see those ways and turn from them and receive His grace, His mercy, day by day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, it is humbling and awe-inspiring to see the realities of your love for us. Lord Jesus, that you left heaven to take on human body and flesh, so that we can have life. Lord, to think that we are known by you, that we are known by God who's created the whole universe. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. You alone are worthy of that worship. Lord, for any of my friends here who do not know you as their Lord, I pray that you will show them their sin and show them that the only way they can be saved from that sin, from eternal death separated from you in hell, is by the grace of God, is by the work of Jesus on the cross. Lord, lead them to receive that free gift, to place faith in you for their salvation. Lord, for those of us who have received that amazing gift, Lord, we praise you, for we are remarkably and wondrously made. We are made according to your hand, and Lord, we give you all praise. We give you all glory for that. It is not by anything of us. It is all because of who you are. Lord, today, be honored in us. Be glorified through us. Lord, search us. Reveal any ways in us that are not in line with who you created us to be. And reveal any sin that is in our hearts. Lord, lead us to know more and more of you each day. Lead us to grow in fellowship with you and in fellowship with other believers and to sharing of your gospel with those around us. Lord, be honored. Be lifted high in our lives today. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you, and we pray in your name today.